I don't have much this morning other than reading of scripture again this morning. I was thinking as we were singing, the one of the songs mentioned about yesterday's blessings, and they're all past and gone. I had to think of how we are as humans, and we're quick to forget, but also sometimes if we aren't careful, we kind of build in our mind off of yesterday's blessings and experiences, and forget to keep walking day to day, and deceive ourselves through it. What I had in mind is to continue reading in the Wisdom of Sirah, where Walter, I think Brother Walter, had been reading chapter 15. So I was going to just continue from 16 on a few chapters. So if someone wants to comment within the reading, just make yourself known. So, Sirah, chapter 16. Do not desire a multitude of worthless children, and do not rejoice in ungodly offspring. If they multiply, do not rejoice in them, unless the fear of the Lord is in them. Do not trust in their survival or rely on their numbers. For one can be better than a thousand, and to die childless is better than to have ungodly children. For through one intelligent person, a city can be filled with people, but through a clan of outlaws, it becomes desolate. Many such things my eye has seen, and my ear has heard things more striking than these. In an assembly of sinners, a fire is kindled, and in a disobedient nation, wrath blazes up. He did not forgive the ancient giants who revolted in their might. So now he's talking about remembering people that the Lord worked with in the past because of their deeds. He did not forgive the ancient giants who revolted in their might. He did not spare the neighbors of Lot, whom he loathed on account of their arrogance. He showed no pity on the doomed nation, on those dispossessed because of their sins, or on the 600,000 foot soldiers who assembled in their stubbornness. Even if there were only one stiff-necked person, it would be a wonder if he remained unpunished. For mercy and wrath are with the Lord. He is mighty to forgive, but he also pours out wrath. Great is his mercy, so also is his chastisement. He judges a person according to his or her deeds. The sinner will not escape with plunder, and the patience of the godly will not be frustrated. He makes room for every act of mercy. Everyone receives in accordance with his or her deeds. Do not say, I am hidden from the Lord, and who from on high has me in mind? Among so many people, I am unknown. For what am I in a boundless creation? I'm so little, he won't notice me, right? Lo, heaven and the highest heaven, the abyss and the earth tremble at his visitation. The very mountains and the foundations of the earth quiver and they quake when he looks upon them. But no human mind can grasp this, and who can comprehend his ways? Like a tempest that no one can see, so most of his works are concealed. Who is to announce his acts of justice, or who can await them? For this degree is far off. Such are the thoughts of one devoid of understanding. A senseless and misguided person thinks foolishly. Listen to me, my child, and acquire knowledge, and pay close attention to my words. I will impart discipline precisely and declare knowledge accurately. When the Lord created his works from the beginning, and in making them determined their boundaries, he arranged his works in an eternal order, and their dominion for all generations. They neither hunger nor grow weary, and they do not abandon their tasks. They do not crowd one another, and they never disobey his word. So if I understand correctly, he said, listen to me, my child, acquire knowledge and pay close attention. I will impart discipline precisely and knowledge accurately. And then he talks about the Lord and how he set up creation and how things, everything in God's creation stays in its place. They don't crowd one another. They stay within their, within what they were made to do. And everything keeps working. That's the way it works. Then the Lord looked upon the earth and filled it with his good things. With all kinds of living beings, he covered its surface, and into it they must return. Chapter 17. The Lord created human beings out of the earth and makes them return to it again. He gave them a fixed number of days, but granted them authority over everything on the earth. He endowed them with strength like his own and made them in his own image. He put the fear of them in all living beings and gave them dominion over beasts and birds. Discretion and tongue and eyes, ears and a mind for thinking he gave them. He filled them with knowledge and understanding and showed them good and evil. He put the fear of him into their hearts to show them the majesty of his works. And they will praise his holy name to proclaim the grandeur of his works. He bestowed knowledge upon them and allotted them the law of life. He established with them an eternal covenant and revealed to them his decrees. Their eyes saw his glorious majesty, and their ears heard the glory of his voice. He said to them, beware of all evil. And he gave commandment to each of them concerning the neighbor. Their ways are always known to him, and they will not be hid from his eyes. He appointed a ruler for every nation, but Israel is the Lord's own portion. All their works are as clear as the sun before him. And his eyes are ever upon their ways. Their iniquities are not hidden from him, and all their sins are before the Lord. One's almsgiving is like a signet ring with the Lord, and he will keep a person's kindness like the apple of his eye. Afterward, he will rise up and repay them, and he will bring their recompense on their own heads. Yet, to those who repent, he grants a return, and he encourages those who are losing hope. Turn back to the Lord and forsake your sins. Pray in his presence and lessen your offense. Return to the Most High and turn away from iniquity. Hate intensely what he abhors. Who will sing praises to the Most High in Hades, in place of the living who give thanks? From the dead, as from one who does not exist, thanksgiving has ceased. Those who are alive and well sing the Lord's praises. How great is the mercy of the Lord and his forgiveness for those who return to him. For not everything is within human capability, since human beings are not immortal. What is brighter than the sun? What is brighter than the sun? Yet it can be eclipsed. So flesh and blood devise evil. He marshals the host of the height of heaven, but all human beings are dust and ashes. He who lives forever, chapter 18, created the whole universe. The Lord alone is just. To none has he given power to proclaim his works. And who can search out his mighty deeds? Who can measure his majestic power? And who can fully recount his mercies? It is not possible to diminish or increase them, nor is it possible to fathom the wonders of the Lord. When human beings have finished, they are just beginning. And when they stop, they are still perplexed. What are human beings, and of what use are they? What is good in them, and what is evil? The number of days in their life is great if they reach 100 years. Like a drop of water from the sea and a grain of sand, so are a few years among the days of eternity. That is why the Lord is patient with them and pours out his mercy upon them. He sees and recognizes that their end is miserable, therefore he grants them forgiveness all the more. The compassion of human beings is for their neighbors, but the compassion of the Lord is for every living thing. He rebukes and trains and teaches them and turns them back as a shepherd his flock. He has compassion on those who accept his discipline and who are eager for his precepts. My child, do not mix reproach with your good deeds or spoil your gift by harsh words. Does not the dew give relief from the scorching heat? So a word is better than a gift. Indeed, does not a word surpass a good gift? Both are to be found in a gracious person. A fool is ungracious and abusive, and the gift of a grudging giver makes the eyes dim. Before you speak, learn. And before you fall ill, take care of your health. Before judgment comes, examine yourself. And at the time of scrutiny, you will find forgiveness. Before falling ill, humble yourself, and when you have sinned, repent. Let nothing hinder you from paying a vow promptly, and do not wait until death to be released from it. Before making a vow, prepare yourself. Do not be like one who puts the Lord to the test. Think of his wrath on the day of death and of the moment of vengeance when he turns away his face. In the time of plenty, think of the time of hunger. In the days of wealth, think of poverty and need. From morning to evening, conditions change. All things move swiftly before the Lord. One who is wise is cautious in everything. When sin is all around, one guards against wrongdoing. Every intelligent person knows wisdom and praises the one who finds her. Those who are skilled in words become wise themselves and pour forth apt proverbs. Do not follow your base desires, but restrain your appetites. If you allow your soul to take pleasure in base desire, it will make you the laughingstock of your enemies. Do not revel in great luxury, or you may become impoverished by its expense. Do not become a beggar by feasting with borrowed money when you have nothing in your purse. Chapter 19, I'll only do a portion of this. The one who does this will not become rich. One who despises small things will fail little by little. Wine and women lead intelligent men astray, and the man who consorts with prostitutes is reckless. Decay and worms will take possession of him, and the reckless person will be snatched away. This next portion I know I've shared before, read before, but I still like it. I think we can all think about it and watch our words more. One who trusts others too quickly has a shallow mind, and one who sins does wrong to himself. One who rejoices in wickedness will be condemned, but one who hates gossip has less evil. Never repeat a conversation, and you will lose nothing at all. With friend or foe, do not report it. And unless it would be a sin for you, do not reveal it. For someone may have heard you and watched you, and in time will hate you. Have you heard something? Let it die with you. Be brave. It will not make you burst. Having heard something, the fool suffers birth pangs like a woman in labor with a child. Like an arrow stuck in a person's thigh, so is gossip inside a fool. I just think most of us can probably relate, or those of us that are adults, to the struggle of, like, if we hear something, whether it be, well, whatever. I guess the more of a story it can be, that the harder it probably is for us to keep it inside and just think about, well, maybe it is just a rumor, but even if it's true, do we have to keep passing it along? And how it can, like, be inside us, and like you just have to tell someone. Like, if you get the opportunity, you think it just has to come out. It doesn't have to. And then he goes on, like, question a friend. I'm assuming, or it sounds like he's talking about this kind of thing. You hear something, question a friend. Perhaps he did not do it. Or if he did, so that he may not do it again. Question a neighbor. Perhaps he did not say it. Or if he said it, so that he may not repeat it. Question a friend, for often it is slander. So do not believe everything you hear. A person may make a slip without intending it. Who has not sinned with his tongue? Question your neighbor before you threaten him, and let the law of the Most High take its course. That was as far as I was going to read this morning. But I have to think, like, about our words, and if we hear something, like, even if it's something that is true, does not have to be passed on, unless, as in one of the verses he says, unless it would be a sin for you not to reveal it. But then I have to think of the verse that says something about, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. Well, even if it's something that's true, if you keep it between yourself, and if it's your neighbor or your brother, you talk to him. You don't have to talk to your other neighbor or your other brother about it. Anyway, that's all I had this morning.
Thank you, Brother Leroy, for sharing those words of wisdom. My mind was drawn to Matthew 18, starting in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So that's step one. As Leroy admonished us, don't tell it around. Talk to him first. But if he doesn't hear thee, Then he says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. It's pretty easy to just go to the person, and if he hears you, great. If he doesn't, well, he just won't listen. But there's another step that we're required to take, and that's a lot more work. You get two or three other people involved, and this all has to be talked through. It takes a lot of time. It gets complicated. And these are red letter words of Jesus. And then the third step, which is a step none of us like to go to. It's not something that is fun at all. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Who wants to do that? That's not a fun thing. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you, be unto thee. Then it's no longer just you and him, but the whole church is involved. Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's all I.
Thank you, Brother Leroy. A lot of, for lack of a better word, buckshot. So many things in CRAC. It's hard to wrap your mind around just one little thing. There's all those proverbs. And thank you for your comments, Will. I know the tongue, the restless evil. Like, for example, my wife told me something yesterday morning. I think. And if I were just silent, it would have been good. But I had to make a comment. She said, they had another fire over in Elmendorf, and another building was burned down. They keep having fires and they're losing things. So I didn't say anything. I'm not a Elmendorf fan or a Peter Hoover fan. I mean, I like a lot of things from Peter Hoover. But so I said, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I mean, that was so cold. Well, I should naturally pray and hopefully things work out, but I just, when someone says a tidbit of news, you know, like you said, like CRAC said, just keep it within yourself, you know, just by saying, well, what do you want me to do about it, you know? So, I'm into a building put down, you want me to send money to him? I mean, okay, I mean, I'm not, I can realize the weakness in my own heart for that. But and one of the things you mentioned in the first verses that you read, I guess it was 15, where you said about, where you, CRAC said about, kindling a fire, something strange about kindling a fire. My mind thought of Nadab and Abihu when God commanded, you know, God consuming fire, and God is a consuming fire, whether burning bush or, you know, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God, Deuteronomy, many times, even Carmel, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, a consuming fire. And He told them, you know, just bring the wood. I mean, they have the wood, just bring the sacrifices. But they brought censers, which had little fires in there. And their fire, God's fire, burned forever. It came down straight down from heaven, and it just burned. And they just kindled it with wood all the time to keep the animal sacrifices. And but they brought man-made fire. They got man-made fire instead of God's fire. And we know the outcome. They got killed immediately. Something like Uzzah. You know, Uzzah touched the ark. Something like Moses, you know, he tapped it. Consider the goodness and severity of God. We have to, at least, you know, consider the goodness and severity of God. For when he says something, we don't have the right it doesn't have to be done exactly like that. But when you, the fire, the verse about kindling a fire and strange, thought of Nadab and Abihu, Uzzah touching the ark. David was so upset with that, wasn't he? David, he couldn't believe it, that God would strike him dead, Uzzah, for touching the ark when it was falling down. And Moses was probably shocked when he says, you're not going to enter the promised land. So the admonition is for us, let's take the word of God seriously. Let's not think that, well, it really doesn't mean what it says. And God is, you know, God is gracious, merciful, patient, and loving. And so he's going to ease up on it. And, I'm guilty with the tongue more than most people, but it's a good admonition. The Lord be magnified.
share.